Here, if you pull out your Bibles, if you don't have a Bible with you, there should be one there in front of you. We're going to go to Psalm chapter number 39. Psalm chapter number 39. I do appreciate all of the teachers in the different Sunday school classes and the junior church class. I'd encourage you, parents, get to know your kid's Sunday school or junior church teacher. They're pouring the heart into your kids through the Word of God. Studying and teaching they've got jobs, they've got homes, and you know, they got things to do, but they take hours and hours out of their week to study and to ready themselves to teach your young people the Word of God every Sunday. And so get to know them as they pour into your children the Word of God. Psalm chapter number 39, verse number 4. Psalm chapter number 39, verse number 4. It says there, "Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am." Just that one verse, I'm going to read it again. It says, "Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is, and what I may know, so that I may know how frail I am." Let's pray before we get into this message. Dear Lord, I pray that you would guide, that you direct this, maybe a little bit of a different message, but a message that I know that you gave to me to preach this morning. God, I pray that you would, Lord, put my opinions and will and desire and thoughts aside, and it be just what you want for us this morning. Lord, I pray that you soften our hearts, that we wouldn't just hear your word, but we'd become doers of the word that is preached this morning, that we'd apply this to our lives today. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. As I mentioned earlier, it's the end of another year. It's the end of the year 2025. It's hard to believe. This year at times has seemed like I couldn't keep up with it. This year, at times, it seemed like it was flying by, and then I look back and think, but several years of events has happened over the last single year. But the fact is, it's coming to a close. And as I got thinking about that this last week, and I'm thinking towards the New Year's, and we'll talk about the New Year's when it is the New Year's here in another week, but I got thinking back along this last year, at the lessons the Lord has taught me, and I thought about how that this last week, a year ago, this last Christmas week, I had spent some time with a friend of mine, somebody who meant a lot to me. Somebody who had a young family like mine and had a lot of plans, a lot of things that they had in mind for this year and the next, and they had trips planned, flights booked, all of these things that they expected to happen. And earlier this year, that friend of mine died. He didn't know that this year was his last. And here we are standing today on the edge of a year, looking backwards now, at days that are gone forever. We don't get to go back to different areas throughout 2025 and relive them. We don't get to go get that wasted time back. Those times we ought to have been busy for God, that live for ourselves, we can't go and get that. That's the thing with time. Once it's gone, it's gone. We look forward to days, though, that are not promised. The calendar will turn. If the Lord tarries, the clock will tick. And in just a few days, this year will just be a memory. Some years we remember with joy. Some years are remembered with pain. Some years are remembered with regret. But David here asks a very piercing question in Psalm chapter number 39, where he says, "Lord, make me to know mine end." Not somebody else's end, not just in general, but mine. I'm not here to preach a morbid message this morning, but a message I believe that's rooted in biblical wisdom. The question before us today is simple, but is sobering. If this year had been your last, would it have mattered? Would it have mattered in eternity's view? or was it a wasted year? The fact is life is far shorter than any of us could imagine. I remember hearing as a young child, even as a teenager, hearing, oh man, time's flying, and thinking, no, it's not. I can't wait for summertime, and school's dragging by. I can't get through a single week. It's just taking forever. And then I became an adult, especially after having children. Boy, does time fly. Boy, does time fly. Psalm chapter 39, verse number 5 says, behold, thou hast made my days as an handbreadth. That's the width of four fingers. The handbreadth was, back in these days, they didn't mass produce rulers and things where a cubit was a measurement from the tip of your fingers down to your elbow. A handbreadth was a measurement between your four fingers. It's significant, but it's definitely not large by any stretch. But it says, and mine age is nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. He says, in eternity scale, my life, even if it's a long, full life. I see my grandparents have going. I used an illustration earlier about my grandma's mom, my great grandma Binkley. She lived till she was 93. And man, she had a full life. She tells stories about the Great Depression. She tells stories, a lot of stories. Some pretty exciting stories growing up in Chicago during that time. But even I couldn't imagine living to 93. It seems unfathomable. But even if I live a long life like that, in eternity's scale, it's pretty small. It's just a little bit. James chapter 4, verse 14 says, for what is your life? Oftentimes in our culture, we don't want to ask uncomfortable questions. In our culture, we want to come to church and you want a preacher to pump you up and to make you feel good and say, oh boy, I left there feeling really great. But there's important questions that what is your life? The Bible says it's even a vapor. Appeared for a little time and then vanished away. We plan. I like making plans. I made a point to not just, I got a calendar, a planner for the 2026. But what I've realized is I'm not satisfied with just planning the next year. I got one that gives me 2 years. I've got a planner that's 2026 and 2027. Because I'm trying to plan things that go beyond just the next 365 days. And we plan, though, as if time is guaranteed. I have things that are set in stone. Of course I'm going to do those things. But the Bible says I'm not promised tomorrow. We make these plans thinking that we're in control of our lives. But we're not. We oftentimes will delay obedience as if tomorrow's promise. We'll say, hey, I'll get serious about my life tomorrow. Hey, I'm going to wait till the summertime. Or teenagers, I'm going to wait till we get to camp this summer. Then I'll get serious about Jesus. As if tomorrow's promised. At the rate of people who pass away around the world, there are thousands, there are tens of thousands who are alive today that will not see 2026. Scripture says life is a vapor. It's here only briefly, and then it's gone suddenly. I think of gravestones. My wife, wherever she is, she thinks I'm crazy. Well, for more than one reason. But I like, and I think I got it from my grandpa and my dad, I like cemeteries. I like walking through cemeteries and reading gravestones. You ever go to an old city, like you go to the city of Boston, and you walk through these old graveyards. Man, the stories that are there. You can walk through some, you go by the New Park Street Chapel, there's a graveyard there, and there's one where there's five people buried there. It's the five that were killed in the Boston Massacre. And then you go further back there, Samuel Adams is in the same cemetery. And you go to the left-hand back corner, and there's Paul Revere. And it's just fascinating. But even just our cemetery, you walk through and you think of, and there's not a lot said there, oftentimes. there's a beginning date when they were born, and there's a date when they died. And what's said of their life? Just a little dash. Just a little dash. Sometimes there's a little phrase there, but a little dash represents everything that happened in their entire life. Just a dash. This year added another segment to that dash, to our story. But did you live it for Christ? Did you live it in a way that if you were to meet your Savior, if tomorrow, whether it be that our life comes to an end, or if the Lord would come back and gloriously rapture us up to Him as Christians, would He look at your year of 2025 and say, well done? Or would you hang your head and say, man, did I waste this year? Oh man, I thought I was going to have more time. I thought I was going to have another year in 2026. I thought I was going to have another 10 years to get right with God. I thought I was going to become a soul winner next year. I thought I was going to get my marriage right next year. I thought I was going to become obedient to God's word next year. I thought I had more time. We don't know how much time we have. God does. God does. But we often live our life as if we're confident this year's not our last. We've got more time. Luke chapter number 12, verse 19 and 20 says, "And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." Story Jesus was telling says, "But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee." This rich man, he planned, he had it all set. He had his storehouses. He was going to be good. He was going to be able to eat all he wanted and drink all he wanted. He was going to be set for years. And he thought he had it all figured out. And God says, "Thou fool, you're not in charge here." We often live as if we're promised years and years and years more of our life. The fact is we're not. God promised this man one more night. We say, one day I'll get serious, one day, and maybe next year I will serve the Lord. I'm going to get a job at the church. I'm going to serve Jesus next year. Problem is, this next year rolls around and you say again, next year. I'm gonna get faithful in my Bible reading next year. No, friends. As we waste away our lives, I tell you, it's not any different than the society we live in. You'd fit in really well if you waste away your life, because the culture around us is doing just that. They're filling their lives with, yeah, maybe they go to work, but as soon as they're home from work, they turn the TV on, they pull out the video games, they're sitting on their couch, or they're wasting away their lives, they're living in immorality, they're doing all of these different things. You say, what's wrong with that? It makes me feel good. It's what I want to do. I was telling some young men, we went out for lunch yesterday, and told them, I said, if you live your life for what you want, for what feels good, you're going to end up miserable. Miserable. Even if you do live that full long life, you'll look back with regrets. You'll look back thinking, I wasted my life and now it's gone. But if you live for what's right, I'm not saying you'll have an easy life. I'm not saying that everything will always go your way. But you'll have a fulfilled life. I was talking with my grandfather before the service about somebody that was part of his ministry that is still faithful today. Another example of somebody that was impacted by his ministry that is faithful serving the Lord in the Philippines, in an area of the Philippines where most in this room wouldn't dare go. A very highly Muslim area there, and he's a missionary. You say, what does that mean? They're coming to the later years of their life. Not that there's no regrets, but they get to look back and say, look what God did. with a kid 200 times, I think, kicked out of school by the time he got to high school. Rough Chicago kid. So he's a somebody. No, no. He didn't waste his life. And you don't have to be a somebody to be greatly used of God. You just have to decide, I'm going to live every year, every day, like it's everything I've got. It's all I've got to give to God. And I give God my day every single day so he can use it. Instead of wasting it and banking on tomorrow and banking on next year and banking on having all kinds of more time to get serious for God later. I'll get serious about my kids and raising my children for the Lord later. Man, my daughter's already two and a half actually. I've got 18 years. Two and a half of those are gone. I've got 15 and a half years. That's not a lot of time. I have to get up off the couch. I have to put down my cell phone. And I have to get busy with the work that God has for me to do today. Today. A friend of mine has had a 2.5, now 3-year-old daughter. He thought he had 18 years with her to raise her. He didn't. He had 2.5. I have today. I look here, I see Kyle and Christina with their boys. These boys, you have today. Pour into them. You say, what does that mean? To spoil them? No. I think kids, I know as a kid I was spoiled too much, and I know that my kids are spoiled too much. Kids don't need stuff. They don't need a pile under the Christmas tree, which most of us, I'm sure, had a pile. It's not bad, but that's not what kids need. Kids need to be taught the truths of God's word. Your kids need to be instructed in the way they should go. Your kids need to be shaped and molded as young soldiers of Jesus Christ, because before you know it, they're going to be adults. And what you did for those 18 years or didn't do will determine whether they're ready to be adults or whether they're going to be losers like most of the 18-year-olds today. You say, what do you mean? Trust me. I spent over 8 years traveling America and working for a student organization that dealt with 18, 19, 20, 21-year-olds. There are kids, over 50% of the young people at one point at ISU in their second year, finishing their second year of a 4-year degree, still didn't know what they were going to, didn't declare or know what they were going to go to school for. Aimless. You know what that is? I'm not attacking them. I'm going to say that that's parents who wasted their time given by God to parent. God gives us a specific time. Someday, God's calendar for our lives is going to come to an end. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 1 says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." If you knew that 2025 was your last year, I think of some folks that I've known that have been given terminal diagnoses that say, hey, you've got 6 months, you've got a year to live. And they know it's their last year. They change some things about how they live, don't they? I wonder if you knew that 2025, say, hey, this is the last year God's given me here on earth, what would be different? Would the priorities of your life be different? Would your schedule have changed? Would your spiritual life have been a little bit more on fire? A little bit more excitable? I tell you, God uses the end of things to awaken his people to wisdom. It's one of the reasons why I prefer funerals to weddings. Say, weddings are nice. I find weddings, except for mine, even mine, it was awkward. I was nervous. I kept thinking, bend your knees, don't pass out. I was sweating, I was scared. I was like, how in the world is this beautiful woman marrying me? I've seen me. Why is she marrying me? I mean, the best part of the wedding is the cake. But you go to a funeral, and there's a lot to be learned. There's a lot of wisdom. If a funeral is done right, it's a time of true reflection. The end of things. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 2 says, it's better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. For that is the end of all men, and the living will lay it to his heart. It says here, hey, it's better to go to a funeral. It's better for you. It might be more enjoyable to go to a feast than to be partying, but it's actually more beneficial for you to go to a funeral. Why? Well, you go to a feast and we've got everything we want and we're just indulging ourselves in the abundance. What did that benefit us? It added to our waistline? No, it doesn't really benefit us. Abundance and frivolity and feast, it doesn't really benefit us all that much. But you come to a time of mourning, and it says there at the end of this verse, it says, and the living, those, not talking about the one that's passed away in a funeral, it's already done. They're either one of two places, heaven or hell. The benefit is for us that are living, it'll deal with our hearts. Because at a funeral, we can look at that box and realize, unless I go up in the rapture, someday, Elijah Whitaker will be in a box like that. And I'll be buried, and I'll be gone, and I won't be able to witness to another soul. I won't be able to preach another message. I won't be able to correct things, my relationship with my wife if it isn't right. I won't be able to impact my children further. It'll be over. Someday, my life will end. I don't even know when. Neither do you. It's sombering. It's serious. But if you have the right type of a heart, it leads to a growth of wisdom. And the year ending here reminds us that time is moving along. Time is running out. Hey, it was something I discovered as an adult. Before being a pastor, I started a couple of businesses. Money isn't the most valuable thing. Something I realized is, it's out there. If you'll work hard, you can go get rich. If that's what you want to do, you can do it. If you're able-bodied, you can be wealthy. If you're willing to work hard enough, it's out there. If that's your priority. It's not mine, if that's your priority. Money's not really all that valuable. I mean, especially we had several years there of some terrible inflation, money got a whole lot less valuable. Time, though, you can't buy it. You can't get it back. You can't take it with a gift receipt and get a refund. Time, once it's gone, it's gone. There's no pause button. It keeps moving. So we should value it. Don't waste it. So what is wasting it? Wasting it is sitting in front of a screen for hours and hours. You say, but I'm sitting next to my family. Yeah, it's fine. It's about more beneficial to turn it off and have a conversation. Here's a surprise. Get together with families on the holidays. Turn it off. Pull out your Bibles. Oh, pastor. Now you're asking too much, preacher. Oh, man. Yeah. But if this was your last day with your family, if you didn't wake up tomorrow morning, would you want them to remember, boy, Dad could just sit on a couch and watch one show episode after another. We watched so much TV together. We played them video games together with Dad. What I say, Dad prioritized Jesus. Dad had us in church. Dad pulled out a Bible and read the Word of God with us. What's going to have more of an impact on your family? Opportunities are passing us by. Souls are eternal. I think about opportunities to share the gospel. That I, so, so, so what, 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 are things that come back and back and back and back and back to your mind. There are a few times I knew God wanted me to share the gospel with somebody. One time in particular, I thought I was too busy. The other time, I was nervous. I just didn't want to get out of my comfort zone. I thought, man, I don't want to make a fool of myself with people around. And I never got an opportunity to share the gospel with those people again. I regret that deeply. I don't have a chance to go back and get those opportunities back. You're not going to ever be able to go back and be in your place in the house of God on a day you decided you'd rather stay home and watch football. It's all right. College football playoffs are kind of a joke this year anyway. See, I'd like to go back and actually do right and correct that. You can't. I see people on social media always put out, would you rather $10 million or be able to go back to when you're 18 with the knowledge you have today? Well, that's kind of cute. It's not real. We have the time God's given us right now. What are you doing with it? Psalm chapter 90, verse 12 says, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. I believe that it's biblical to manage your time, to manage your days. Why? So that you can schedule all kinds of fun things to do. Not necessarily. So that you can apply your heart unto wisdom. See, I don't have enough time to study the Word of God. You can make time, and you will do what is most important to you. That's something I've learned over the years, is that what is important to me, I will find a way to do it. Now, there's a limit sometimes to how much. Obviously, if I say, I want to read my Bible 25 hours in a day, it's impossible, right? But if I'm prioritized, and if it's a top priority that I meet with my Savior on my knees with the Word of God every single morning, I'm going to do that. And if I don't do that, you know what that tells me, Chase? It's not my priority. It's as simple as that. You will do what you prioritize. And we waste time hanging out with people we ought not be hanging out with. We waste time. I tell you what, young people, there's teenagers throughout the room, young people, you will become the average of the five people you spend the most time with. You think of your five closest friends. What are their attributes? Are they liars? Are they godly? Do they waste their time? They waste their life? Are they partying in ways you ought not be? You will become an average. Your character will be an average of the top five people you spend time with. So choose those people wisely. Instead of wasting time, I spend time with these people playing video games. Okay. There's some video games that there are things wrong with. There's a lot of them, they're fine. But man, are they worthless. Worthless waste of a mind-numbing time. Wisdom is not found in ignoring death, but it's found in living prepared for it. Living a life that if Jesus were to come back or if our life were to end, I'm ready to see my Savior. I'd venture to say there's probably some Christians here this morning that want a few moments to clean up some sin maybe in our life that nobody knows about. Oh man, but before my life, I got to fix this. Why don't you fix it now? You don't know when your life is going to come to an end. You don't know that you have next year. What would you have done differently if you knew 2025 was your last year? Let's talk about these questions honestly. Would you have loved more? Not what the world calls love. Loved more. John chapter 13 says this. It says, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, that you love one another. Man, I think if Christians knew that this was our last year, Christians wouldn't be bickering as much with one another. I wouldn't be going and saying, oh, Brother Vogelin, did you know what Brother Zach said about you? He didn't say anything, but man, hold on to grudges, holding on to bitterness, spending our precious time fretting over things that are unnecessary. So let it go. If we knew that this was our last day on earth, I believe there'd be more forgiveness. Not trying to prove a point, not trying to be proven right, but to forgive. There'd be more patience with one another. More patience. My wife sometimes asks for me to be patient with her. And something I learned from my dad is he used to always say, he said, what your mom has to be patient about for me is compared to what I have to be patient with her on. So I have to be patient about like a teaspoon full of stuff and overlook that. And I'm here with my dump truck full of grievances that she has to overlook and be patient with. And as a white car, I'm a clod too. And whether it's falling up the steps or saying stuff I shouldn't say, and saying the first thing that comes out of my mind, comes to my mind, and it comes right out of my mouth, and I think, man, I shouldn't have said that. That was stupid. Patience. Having more grace with one another. Something I was speaking, I guess I was looking around for my brother Ezekiel. He's downstairs. He's one of the junior church teachers. And Ezekiel and I were talking for several conversations about this earlier, several months ago. But that sometimes when you're ministering one to another and you're ministering to people, it's easy, the devil trying to get you frustrated about, why won't they do right? And you almost want to make people do right. And in a lot of ways, it's being able to have a 30,000 foot view where you see, say, hey, I know if you don't do right, I know that's going to hurt you. And you want people to do right. But ultimately, I can't make people do what's right. And I can't get mad and irritated and frustrated at people when they're not doing right all the time. Why? Because it's my job to preach the Word of God. It's not my job to make you do right. That's the Holy Spirit's job. And man, it takes a lot of pride to think that I'm supposed to do the Holy Spirit's job. You know what it is? More grace. To say, hey, God's working. It might be slow, but God's working. And I'm going to keep preaching the truth, and God's going to work. But if we knew this was our last year, I believe we would have loved more. I know that if this was our last year, we would have served more faithfully. John chapter 9, verse 4 says, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. And right here, he's acknowledging, he says, hey, there's going to come a time. Brother Andy, Brother Terry, we were down making John Romans and putting together the Word of God there to be able to go out to our communities yesterday. There's going to come a time when our life is over, when I can't make another John Romans, when I can't give another gospel tract to somebody. So if I knew it was my last chance, boy, would I be more faithful. And there's coming a night when no more sermons can be preached, when no more tracts can be given, when no more prayers can be offered. We know it's coming. So what are we doing wasting our life right now? It's coming, but not yet. He's given us right now. I believe we'd be more faithful. I also believe we would have witnessed more boldly. Romans chapter 10, verse 14 says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How can they believe unless they have heard? How can they hear unless they have a preacher? Preacher there to preach means to proclaim these truths. That's not just for me to preach the gospel, to tell people about Jesus. It's for all of us. Every single saved soul here. How many opportunities this year to share the gospel did you pass up? Think about it. Family, coworkers, neighbors, random people at a grocery store. How many opportunities did the Lord bring by your way? You just didn't feel like it. Maybe another time I'll be the soul winner God wants me to be. We're not promised that other time, folks. We're given right now. And then in conclusion, I want to say the most important question here is, if this year were your last, are you ready to see Jesus? I preach Moses' message was to Christians. Moses' message was to saved individuals. Boy, the most important thing that you don't put off is your salvation. Amen. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after that, the judgment. If this were your last year, are you saved? If this were your last year and then you see Jesus, would you go to heaven or would you go to hell? Are you ready to meet God? Amos chapter 4, verse 12 says, prepare to meet thy God. Mm-hmm. I preached about the way we live our lives as Christians. But in conclusion, I want to ask an important question. Do you know that you are a Christian? Do you know that you are saved? Do you know that if you were to die today, that you'd go to heaven? Church membership can't save you. Good works will not save you. Baptism alone cannot save you. It doesn't matter how you try to work your way to heaven, you can't get there on your own. John chapter 3, verse 3 says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. The most important thing to be absolutely positive of as we live our lives, knowing that tomorrow is not promised, is to know that if today were our last, we'd go to heaven, knowing that we're saved. This year is ending, but your opportunity to be saved is right now. It's here. Your opportunity, Christians, to live your life with fullness. Don't waste your life. Live with purpose for Jesus Christ. Live a life that is an abundant Christian life. Not just a coasting Christian life. Not just a nominal Christian life. Not just a come and warm a pew once a week Christian life. An abundant life for Christ. Why? Because we're given right now. And I'm going to live right now for Jesus. Every breath is a gift from God. And I'm going to live it. In the realization that that is true. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, today is the day of salvation. God has given you another Sunday, another invitation, another chance to walk an aisle, to have a Bible open, to bow your heads and close your eyes, and to pray and ask Jesus to be your Savior. You don't know that you'll have another one. Young or old, you don't know. You know you have this one right now. Live this year as if it matters because it does. If 2026 were your last, would you live differently? You probably hold to your New Year's resolutions a little bit better. I'm sure you'd pray differently. If God laid on your heart something, you'd obey more quickly. Well, why not start? Let's live our lives for Christ to where if this year were our last, if 2026 were the last year that we have on earth, it'd be okay. Because I lived it to my fullest for Jesus. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23 says, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not as to men. We're not doing this to impress other people. We're not living our lives for what others think, for what the preacher thinks, or as to the Lord. Do it heartily, with your whole heart, with steadfastness, with tenacity, with boldness, with determination. I will live my life for Jesus every moment of every day. I'm going to be the mom or the dad or the husband or the wife or the son or the daughter or the soul winner or the church member or the servant of God or whatever your situation is, you're going to live fully for Jesus this year. Because you don't know how many more you have. Make the coming year count. Because eternity is long. And our life is short. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your many blessings. God, we thank you for another year in 2025. God, a year where souls were saved, a year of blessings, sometimes a year of disappointments, but God, you've been good. God, I pray that you'd work on our hearts. Lord, don't let us be defensive or make excuses, but that you'd fire us up this morning to put aside the distractions of the world that tried to keep our lives filled and consumed with wasteful activities. But God, that we'd purpose in our heart that we're going to live this year, this 2026 we're about to embark on, in a way that is full, that is abundant, that is dedicated to what's purposeful and meaningful and right for you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.